Welcome to Dayspring Church Podcast. As you listen, you may want to take a moment to pause and reflect on what God is highlighting for you.
We now have the amazing blessing of listening to some testimonies from our youth, Joel and Millie. So I'd now like to invite up the wonderful Joel to share with us this morning.
Thank you, Elise. Good morning, church. How are we? Yeah. You know, when I woke up this morning, I knew it was a good morning because Arsenal lost the Champions League. So, yeah. Yeah. All right, for those who don't know me, I'm Joel. I serve in this church. I serve in Kids Church, Youth Group, and I'm also on the worship team on Sundays. I have a big heart for serving, and overall, I just have a big heart for this church and the people in it. I'm very grateful to have this opportunity to share my testimony and the story that God has written in my life and is continuing to write. Now, I've been in this church since 2014. My life has always been in the church. Before I was in this church, my grandparents were the senior pastors of my church in Newcastle. And then when I moved here, mum and dad quickly became the pastors of this church, which was good. So it's safe to say that the idea of God and Him being my Lord and Savior was always in my life. I always have believed it. I've always known it. However, I just never necessarily engaged with it. Never properly pursued Him the way I could have. I spent the majority of my high school life not chasing God, but instead chasing popularity, and just chasing fulfillment of any kind that didn't come from God or what I'd been taught growing up. This significantly increased my ego and pride and my belief that I didn't need a proper relationship with God to get through life. Obviously, this is not the life God wanted for me or my family wanted for me, but I didn't care. I was never too extremely sinful. I never did well. I did well to keep it hidden. So I thought, you know, no consequences at the moment, it's fine. But I never got happiness or fulfilled from the way that I was living. Once year 12 hit, I considered my life at peak. I had a girlfriend, led myself, a lead in the musical. I was friends with everyone in my grade and everyone at youth. Life showed no signs of slowing down. And when I turned 18, moving into graduation, that's when I decided to move forward in the life that I wanted for myself. My youth leader at the time, however, was one of the few people who knew what was going on in my life and said this to me. He said, "When you turn 18, some people will say you're faced with the world and you've got to forge your own path through it." He said that that's a lie. There are only two paths to choose. There's God's path, the right path, and sin's path. There is no third option of your path that you pave. If the path you choose isn't God's, then it's the path of sin. Obviously, me being young and naive, I thought, nah, watch me create my own path. I know God will forgive me and it'll be all right in the end. I'll choose God's path later on when I'm done with my own. Yeah, spoiler alert, this didn't work. I started prioritizing the world and, the things in my life just felt so good. I was so happy, but I started losing everything that was true in my life. Lost all my important relationships. They started falling apart. My reputation began to falter. And I started feeling alone and ashamed to the point where I was at my lowest and I didn't even like myself. It wasn't until the words of my leader truly sunk in. When I was at my lowest, I was finally willing to listen. God meets you where you are at. He meets you in the struggle and He's waiting for you to run into His arms. Revelations 3:20 says, "Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice, open the door. I will come in and we will share a meal as friends." And guess what? In that moment, when I decided to try God's path, I opened that door. That's when life made sense. All of those relationships that I lost, God restored them and made them stronger. My reputation that I was so pressed about, it didn't matter. I discovered that my reputation only matters to God. His opinion of me is the only thing that matters because of the way He loves me, and He loves me more than anyone else on this earth ever could. There is no third option. There is God's path or sin's path. From my experience, don't waste time going down sin's path. Don't try and create your own path. Follow God's path. Open the door He is knocking on, walk through it and close it forever. I promise you, you'll never look back and never regret it. All right, thank you. All right, I would now like to welcome up one of the best girls in our youth group, so bubbly, so full of energy and so on fire for God. Please welcome Millie.
this is a bit scary, but just along the lines of Arsenal losing, who watched the Newcastle Knights win? Woo! Go the Knights! So as many...
No.
So as many of you guys know, I got baptised last week, and... Woo! And in honour of that, I'm going to share my testimony on how I came to Jesus. I gave my life to Jesus in April of last year, and just over a year later, I got baptised. But none of this would have happened without people sowing seeds into my life. My life before Jesus was chaotic and noisy, with no direction and purpose as to what I was meant to do. I grew up in a divorced household. I had seasons in my life where I was living in abusive environments at my mum's house. I was suffering many mental health problems like depression and anxiety. As these problems rolled into high school, I built a shield between me and the world because that was more comforting to portray someone that I'm not, because it felt safer and it felt like an escape from reality. I'm still working through these problems, but the Lord God has set me free. He has set me free from the bondages of depression, portraying someone that I'm not, by giving me friends I can be fully myself around. Because God sees us and He searches our hearts, and He created a space where I feel safe and whole. I'm sure many of you have prayed a similar prayer. Hey God, use me for your will, use me to preach your gospel, use me to expand your kingdom. But are you actually doing anything about it, or are you too scared about what someone's going to say back? If we are a generation unashamed of Jesus, with the power of God, we should be reaping harvests in people's lives. As Christians, we don't belong to this world because the glory in heaven and eternal life with our Heavenly Father far outweighs what happens on this earth. But people don't know that we are not for this world. And the overflowing fulfillment, pure joy and love that happens when you believe in Jesus. God gives us the Holy Spirit and spiritual gifts to help us expand His kingdom, praise Him and glorify Him. For 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 to 11, God has given each of you a gift from His variety of spiritual gifts. Use them to serve one another. Do you have a gift of speaking? Then speak as though God Himself is speaking through you. Do you have a gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies you. Then everything you do, bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to Him forever and ever. Amen. I would have never been set free, and I would have never felt the pure love and fulfillment that Jesus brings into my life if my friends at school never told me about youth, never told me how fun it was. I would have never stepped foot in this church, and I would have never come back the next week and encounter Jesus, and I would have never come back again and fully given my life to Jesus. My encounter with Jesus was something that took me so far back that I had to question, is this Jesus guy real? We were asked to picture Jesus, and as someone who thought that God and Jesus were two separate physical people, I pictured Jesus ascending into heaven with the sun behind Him. I held my hands out and I felt someone holding them. It wasn't anyone physically holding them, but it was my encounter with Jesus. I now have fully given my life to Jesus, and I have a blazing heart on fire for Him. But it was never like that. I tried so many other things, like endless counseling sessions and being someone that I'm not, because I didn't know anything about Jesus. Many people try so many other things that leave them empty because they don't know Jesus. This is why it's so extremely important to sow seeds into people's lives, because you could be one sentence away from someone getting saved. All it takes is for you to say at work or school, at training, hey, do you want to come to youth? Hey, do you want to come to church? You could be the vessel in someone's life, just how my school friends were for me. I'm telling you with the strength of God, this is not impossible. For Philippians 4:13, for I can do everything with Christ who gives me strength. I can prove to you that you can do it. Because at school, I was talking to a friend about my plans on the weekend on how I was getting baptized. She was like, no way, I want to get baptized too. So I hooked her up with all the information, and my friend Giselle, her sister Misha, and Jake all got baptized last week here. But also my life is living proof of 1 Corinthians 3 verse 6. I planted the seed in your heart and Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. Someone planted a seed in my life and people nurtured me, but ultimately God made me grow. So youth and church, how are you going to sow seeds into people's lives? So we are now going to go into the 2 minute break. But parents, you can now sign your kids into the program. But if your child is in year 5 to 6, they can stay for the day and enjoy the preaching. If they haven't gotten their goodie bag and their note-taking things, they can grab them from our kids team and now and they can stay with you. So as we go into the 2 minute break, get up and talk to someone across the room that you don't normally talk to.
Well, good morning, church. If you don't know who I am, my name is Solomon, and I am the youth pastor here at Dayspring Church. It's my privilege and my honor. Now, before we get started into the message, I just wanted to take some time to honor Pastor Aaron and Pastor Kristen. They aren't here at the moment, but I just wanted to thank them for giving me this opportunity to share the word of God this morning and entrusting me. Thank you for also giving me the opportunity to lead our youth group. It's the biggest privilege and honor in my life. Okay, let's get into the message this morning. Dayspring Church, at Dayspring Youth, me and along with all of my leaders, we want to make it clear that age shouldn't be a reason why you can't seek God to the fullest, why you can't be seeking revival in your schools, in your universities, why you can't be preaching the gospel boldly. This is because we are a generation that is unashamed of Jesus, and we are unashamed of the person that he has called us to be. In 1 Timothy, the word tells us to not let anyone despise you for your youth. The reason why we seek God isn't because of the people that surround us. It isn't because of the situation that is surrounding us, but it is because of the simple fact that Jesus has saved us from our sin, and he first showed love to us before we ever showed love to him. Christ, he was the Messiah who suffered for our sins. He bore the weight of our shame, yet he calls us his beloved. And this is the reason why we preach the gospel. This is the reason why we remain unashamed in our faith. This message, it has absolutely nothing to do with us, but it has everything to do with Jesus. Last term, our theme that we went through as a youth group was called Back to Basics. Because to be unashamed in your faith, you will be asked questions. Why do you believe what you believe in? And so our goal as a youth group, we wanted to equip our young people to be firm in their foundations. So we went through core Christian principles, such as the resurrection of Jesus, the death of Jesus. We went through baptism. We talked about why Jesus came into the world. And one of my favorite topics that we preached on was the world's need for the message. Church, we have no idea how blessed we are, the fact that we can come into a place like this and hear the gospel. And I want to make mention to you this morning, is that we are on an island of blessing in an ocean of need. I will say that again, we are on an island of blessing in an ocean of need. As much as it is the Christian's duty to preach the message, it is also a privilege. In Romans chapter 1, Paul mentions that he is both obligated and eager to share the good news. And as I set the groundwork for this morning's message, I want to ask you a question. Do you recognize the blessing of being saved to realize the need for you to be unashamed? I'll say that again, church. Do you recognize the blessing of being saved to realize the need for you to be unashamed? Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, can you please turn with me to John chapter 17? And we are going to be reading for verses 20 to 26. That's John chapter 17, verses 20 to 26. Let's read. I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you. Amen. And may they be in us so that the world will believe that you sent me. I have given them the glory you have given me, so they may be one as we are one. I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Father, I want these whom you have given me to be with me where I am. Then they can see all the glory you gave me because you loved me even before the world began. O righteous Father, the world doesn't know you, but I do.
and these disciples know you sent me. I have revealed you to them, and I will continue to do so. Then your love for me will be in them, and I will be in them." Let's pray, church. Lord God, we just thank you for this time, for this opportunity for the youth group to lead this Sunday service. Lord Jesus, I just pray, God, that every single one of us in the church here today will gain a true recognition, a real recognition of what it means to be unashamed for your name. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this morning. I pray that we will leave this place changed, God, and not the same way that we came in. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, the passage we just read, it's a prayer of petition from Jesus to the Father. And as he is praying this prayer, it's actually right before he's about to experience his death and his resurrection. In John chapter 17, the chapter is split into three main parts: the prayer for glorification, the prayer for sanctification, and then Jesus's prayer for the world, which is where we find ourselves in verses 20 to 26. And this is what we are going to be focusing on today. What's important to recognize about these verses is that Jesus directly aligns his mission, or our mission, with his prayer. Let's read verses 20. It says this: "I am praying not only for these disciples, but all who will ever believe in me through their message." Through whose message? Their message. What the word is also telling us is that those who believe, based on the account of what his disciples are going to say. Jesus is almost assuming, he knows that the disciples are going to fulfill the mission that Jesus is going to tell them after his resurrection. What we see in this prayer, what we see in verses 20 to 26, is the direct reflection of what Jesus lived. Which leads me to my first point, which is your missional identity. Everyone say that: missional identity. Throughout the life of Jesus, we see that his mission was a part of his identity. I'm reminded of Luke chapter 19, when Jesus goes to meet Zacchaeus. He identifies himself to Zacchaeus and he tells him that he's the Son of Man to come, who came to seek and save the lost. Jesus defined his mission in order to define that he was the Messiah. Jesus lived his life with the vision of what the world will look like when his mission was accomplished. Where and how Jesus lived, where and how he led, came from the clear vision of why he came to the world. Now, as we continue through this passage, let's go to verses 21. Jesus prays this: "I pray they will all be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you, and they may be seen in us, so that the world will believe you sent me." In this particular verse, Jesus reminds us that spiritual unity is the unity that we share as brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, when the body expands, when people are being saved, there is no doubt that we are going to have people from many different nations, many different cultures, ideas come together. And Jesus's prayer is that we won't be divided by these things, but we will all remain one in unity. Jesus directly compares this unity between his love and the Father's love for him, his relationship with the Father. And I find that so incredible. That makes the unity that we have as the church so much more meaningful. This unity that Christ talks about can only be displayed through our love for one another. Last week, I had the amazing opportunity of baptizing some of our youth and young adults. And what we saw through baptism was the external expression of the union between them and Christ. This decision that they made, that they confessed their sins and they are now identifying with Jesus Christ. And so this new identity that they have been called into. And I want to make mention that this identity that Christ calls us into is first and foremost us finding love, the eternal love in the Father. And as humans, a common mistake that we make is that we get straight into the doing, straight into the serving, straight into the mission without a full recognition of our identity in God. And in the body of Christ, we can see this through many people who try to come and go, where they get straight into the serving and rather their mission starts to become for self-glorification rather than how can I use this to glorify God. And this applies actually directly for the opposite, where we simply acknowledge his love, but then we completely forget about the mission. Where instead of just knowing his love, we forget that we actually have to make his love known. And this would be almost an inauthentic form of God's love. It can't just simply be head knowledge, but we have to know it in our heart. We have to accept it in our heart. Church, these concepts of mission and identity cannot be separated. They're not just some self-formed thoughts, but they are spiritual realities that God defines through his love with the Father in verses 21. When we have received his love, we are united with Jesus. And then these two ideas of mission and identity become the core pillars of our faith. Now, in the context of this prayer, the particular mission that Jesus talks about is the unity between the church, which is what I mentioned earlier. And church, I want to remind us this morning that the very fact that I can call my dear friends Nina from Triumph Church and the Triumph Church gang all the way out from Blacktown, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Sorry, Jerry, I didn't see you. Jerry and Nina, that's what I meant to say. From all the way out from Blacktown, I can call them my brothers and sisters in Christ. It's not just mere affection, but rather I am stating a supernatural reality because God defines this as his relationship with the Father. This is something that Jesus doesn't tell us to create, but rather affirm that it is a reality. That's why we can say all the way to the persecuted church in Nigeria, to us today, that we are all brothers and sisters in Christ. It's a supernatural reality. Let's read verses 23. The Bible says this, "I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me." Now, it might be your first time in church this morning, or it might be your first experience in a place like this, and you might have heard someone say, "brother and sister." This is an affection, but this is a reality. Something stirs in your spirit when you meet your brothers and sisters in Christ. A few weeks ago, we had Send Saturday at our church where some of us members of the congregation, we went to the Hills area and we evangelized, we shared the gospel with people. And we split up into pairs and I was with one of my dear brothers, Toby, who were preaching the gospel. And one of the experiences that stuck with me is that when you would share the gospel with someone, when you would tell them that Jesus Christ died for your sins and that he's resurrected, and you would share the gospel with them, a person that you would come across naturally is a person who was already Christian. And then they would almost encourage you. They'll tell you, "oh, I'm a Christian already. Continue what you are doing." And something stirred in my spirit. It almost gave me a greater motivation to be more unashamed in my faith. Why? Because this connection that we made in such a short period of time, it wasn't just mere words in a sentence. No, it was a reality that they were my brother and sister in Christ. Amen, church. Come on, tell the person next to you that you are my brother and sister in Christ, respectively, of course. Thank you. This supernatural love and unity draws us to the love of Christ. And it is what the world sees. They see the love and the bond that we have with each other. And that draws them to the love of Christ. And sorry, this was just a bit of a sub-point from my main point of mission and identity. But when we look at the greatest leader of all time, Jesus, the way he led, the way he lived, came from a clear sense of why he came, to redeem us of our sin. And church, I want to ask you this morning, is the way we live grounded in our identity in Jesus? But is it also humbled to the mission that God has called you to? I will say that again, church. Is the way we live our lives grounded in our identity in Jesus, but is it also humbled to the mission that God has called us to live? God, I submit to your calling. I will go where you send me. I will be unashamed for your name. I will preach the word boldly. Amen, church. Come on. And this is my next point, church. It is to be unashamed before the throne. To be unashamed before the throne. Now, as we continue through this passage, let's read from verses 24 to 26. The word says this, "Father, I want these whom you have given me to be with me where I am. Then they can see all the glory you gave me because you loved me even before the world began." O righteous Father, the world doesn't know you, but I do. And these disciples know you sent me. I have revealed you to them, and I will continue to do so. Then your love for me will be in them." Once again, church, we find Jesus placing his identity in the Father. Just as Jesus finds his identity in the Father, he wants his disciples to find their identity in him, in Jesus' love that has been poured out over us. Now, Jesus mentions in verses 24, "Then they can see all the glory you gave me because you loved me even before the world began." This love between the Father and Son, it's not something that existed on Christmas Day and forward. No, it's been something that has been there since the beginning of time. And what is so powerful about John 17 is that it's a prayer that pre-resurrection, it extends to the beginning of time. And then post-resurrection, it extends to us today. This glory that that Jesus is teaching us about in this passage, it's shown between his love, between him and the Father. Jesus is God. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the Messiah who suffered for our sins. And he's the righteous one who sits at the right-hand side of the Father. Come on, this glory that God is talking about, it has been poured out over us through his love. He was God, the God of the universe. He created this world, yet he came in human form to die for us. And church, he didn't just die. We don't worship a dead God. We worship a very much alive God who is still working today. Amen, church. Come on, the battle has already been won. And in the midst of all this glory, Jesus mentions at the end of his prayer in verse 26, "Then your love for me will be in them and I will be in them." And that draws me to this point. To be unashamed in our faith, we have to be unashamed before God. If we want to be bold in our faith, if we want to preach the word, we have to be unashamed before God. The main idea in this passage is that we will be in union with Christ, that God is stating his union with the Father, this love that he has. But this cannot happen until we learn to pour out our burdens onto Jesus, giving him everything in our lives, the struggles that we have in our lives, the struggles that we have with our sin. When Jesus prayed to the Father, he poured out his heart onto him. "Father, if it is your will, let this cup pass from me." Sometimes during our quiet time, we try to act strong before the Lord. I want to remind you, church, today that God isn't asking you to be strong, but he is asking you to anchor your life in the love of Jesus. From your businesses, to your relationships, to your finances, every single thing, anchor it in the love of Christ. And as I've progressed in my faith since I got saved in year 6 to now, the more I live out this Christian life, the more I live out my faith, the more I realize that the love of God doesn't make me strong, but it actually makes me recognize how weak I am and how much I am in need of God's love. The more we get close with God, the more we recognize our weakness and how much we need Jesus in our lives. Too many times, the devil's tactic is that he will use your sin to draw you away from God. He will use shame when you sin and you come to God, he'll make you draw away from him. But God calls you to draw close to him. And I want to remind you today that no single situation is too big or small for God to handle. The word of God says to approach the throne of God with boldness. So church, to be unashamed in your faith, you have to be unashamed before God. Can I also invite the worship team to join me? God isn't asking you to be strong. He is calling you to anchor your life in the love of Christ. Now, if you all have your Bibles, please turn with me to Romans chapter 1, verses 16. And I'm going to read our vision verse for our youth group, for Dayspring Youth Group. This is what we are about. The word of God says this, "For I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile."
The reason why this verse resonates with me so much is because the people that this verse was being written to, they were first century Christians. And to be a Christian at that time was a massive job. To declare to the world that you were a Christian, to declare to the world that you wanted to live under this new king named Jesus, if you wanted to center your lives around the resurrection of God, it was you defying the emperor, the very powers of the government, the very powers of the world. And the Roman authority, they were so high up. They were so influential. And as much as they were influential, they were also anti-Christ. There was an agenda to kill every single Christian on the earth. And yet Paul is reminding these Christians to remain grounded, remain unashamed. If we are going to make a decision for Christ, if you were going to make a decision for Christ in that time, you were going to be mocked, beaten. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that persecution like this doesn't happen today. As much as we are blessed to be in this time to hear God's word freely, we do have brothers and sisters in India, the Middle East, Nigeria, who are being persecuted every single day for their faith. And as much as this grieves me, as much as it is so, it impacts me so much when I read this passage in its context, it reminds me to stand firm in my faith against the schemes of the enemy, to be unashamed in my faith. Even as it may seem simple as simply placing a Bible on my desk at work, praying out loudly during lunchtime, to be unashamed in my faith, to post like a gospel story or something on my social media, even though it might get zero likes. This is what the Bible calls me to do, to be unashamed for Jesus. This is because what does Paul say at the end of verses 16? It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile. What made the early church so impactful, what made Christianity spread like a wildfire during this time, wasn't because these people were just saying mere words in a sentence. No, because they believed that this message that they carry, the gospel, it actually had power to save. Not because of us, but because of God. And this is the message that He entrusts us with. He chose us to bring His kingdom down on earth, church. So church, my prayer for this morning is that we will not just have a youth group that is unashamed, that we have generations upon generations that is unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen, church. Amen, church. Come on. I pray that in the next 10 years, those children can see the faith of our youth group and they can be unashamed. And that this youth group can see the faith of the older generation of the church and then they can be unashamed. Church, Jesus Christ died for us. He is the Messiah who loved us so much. He bore the weight of our shame and He deserves all the glory. And I will be unashamed for His name. Church, can we stand up in this place? Can I also invite some of our prayer warriors to join us up on this stage? Can I invite the youth to come up as well, to stand in the altar? And we're just gonna lay some hands over our youth group this morning. Can I also invite some of the leaders and pastors to just come and lay some hands? Yeah, come to the front, come to the front. And even if you're in like university or something, or you're a young adult, I encourage you to come at the front. You wanna come up to the front, boys? Anyone, whoever's young and bold. Everyone come to the front. Yes, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord. Come on, everyone. Can we just all stretch out our hands over our youth group, our young people? Yes, amen, church. Yes, Lord Jesus. Praise you, God. God, we just thank you once again for an amazing morning. God, as much as we want to have fun, as much as we want to put our stamp on the church, I pray, God, that you will remain the center of it all. I pray for every single young person here this morning. Lord Jesus, that you will stir in us a fire, God, to be unashamed for your name, to be bold for your name, Lord Jesus. God, we thank you that you are the God who came to this world and died on the cross for us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that the battle is already won. And God, the throne isn't empty, but you, Jesus, are sitting on it, God, in heaven, Lord Jesus. And we thank you, God, that we are not alone, but your Holy Spirit is in us, dwelling in us, Lord God, to live this Christian life, to help us preach your word. And Lord Jesus, we impart wisdom and peace in every single young person here this morning. Yes, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
All right. All right, if we can keep our eyes closed and keep our heads bowed. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful morning. We thank you that you have allowed our youth to light up this space, Lord. Even though we may be young, Lord, we give all our praise and all our glory to you. We thank you for our leaders that come here every Friday and give up their Friday nights for our youth. We thank you for the role that they've had in today and making sure that today is run. Matthew 19:14 says, Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these, Lord." We thank you for our youth, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to them. We thank you that you are pouring your spirit out upon them and you are building them up to be the future leaders of this church, Lord. They are our foundation, they are our youngest, and we just pour out your blessing upon them. And we pray that as leaders, Lord, as older people, that every word that we impart upon them, every action that we impart upon them shall be an outpouring of you, of your grace, of your love, of your kindness, of your joy. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes. Oh, Lord, we thank you so much that we get to partner with you in your kingdom mission. We thank you so much for all that you have done in our youth group, for Sean's leadership and for the incoming leadership of Solomon. We thank you for all the leaders who have come and the leaders that are here. God, we thank you that everything that we do is for your glory. And we thank you that you are raising a generation who is unashamed, who desires to go out and share the goodness of your word in our schools. God, we thank you that it is such an awesome mission field to share with young people who are searching for you. Lord, we just pray, we continue to pray growth over our youth. We pray that more and more people would encounter you through our ministry, that your name would just be declared and made known, because you are so, so good. And we can't keep it quiet. We just want to tell everyone. We thank you, God, in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We pray over our youth, Lord. We pray over our leaders, Lord. Such a harsh world we live in. Thank you that we're able to worship you so freely and serve you so freely, O Lord. I just pray for this youth group that you'll just touch every single one of them, O Lord. Only you know what's going through their hearts, O Lord. Only you know them truly, O Lord. I pray that you'll really fill them up, O Lord. I pray that it won't just be on a Friday night at youth that they'll just come towards you, surrender their life down, Lord. I pray that wherever they are, whether it's school, training, university, friends, whatever it is, Lord, that you'll just be with them, Lord. You will touch them and they will just be unashamed of you, Lord. I pray that as we go into a time of worship that, yeah, we will just keep praying for our youth, Lord. I pray that you will touch them.
Thank you for joining us. We hope you were blessed. To find out what's happening in the life of our community, you can visit dayspring.com.au or connect with us on Facebook or Instagram.